Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Hello?
Hello, this is Scott Stapp. Is this Mistress Carrie?
It is. What's going on, Mr. Stapp?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing really good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Just got up an hour ago here in Salisbury, Massachusetts for the show tonight.
Yeah, you're at the Blue Ocean Music Hall tonight, and then next Friday you are at the Wilbur here in Boston.
Yeah, man. We can't wait. We can't wait to get there.
Salisbury Beach was where I spent a lot of time as a kid. That was the beach we went to.
Dude, it's gorgeous, man. The bus is parked right on the beach. It's a beautiful day. So it's the start of a good day.
Well, Scott, let me tell you, I go back to the beginning days of Creed here at WAAF. And so I've been there to watch your entire career. And having you up in the WAAF studio playing acoustic and the rooftop pool parties and all the things we've done over the years, we've had some great times.
Yes, we have.
And it has been very difficult to be here to report on the tough times. And hearing you now, as happy and healthy as you are, it is amazing what you have been through.
Well, it's good to be on the other side. You know, and I'm thankful, and I'm grateful, and just, yeah, man, it was crazy. You know, those dark times and that dark period was the most difficult times in my life, and you know, very public, and it's good to be here now. You know, 5 years sober on the other side of it, and you know, back to making music and back to rebuilding and connecting with relationships with you guys and with, you know, radio all over the country and with the fans. And so, you know, every day I wake up and I'm just grateful for the day, man.
Do you think if you went through all of that today with the greater understanding about addiction and mental illness and depression, do you think that you would have been met with more compassion, because you became the butt of a lot of jokes for a long time?
Yeah, you know, I think times have changed. I think that, you know, the conversation about depression and mental health in general is, you know, it's mainstream now. People are a lot more knowledgeable about it. Same with addiction and alcoholism. People are more aware, more knowledgeable, and also we've lost so many in the music business to mental health issues, to addiction, overdoses, suicides. And so I think it's really created a greater understanding and compassion, not only with the public, but I think within bands and within the music community. As I look back, I can definitely say I think that it possibly would have been viewed differently, and things could have happened differently. But I tell you, everything happened, I think now, the way it was supposed to, because, you know, I probably never would have met my wife. I wouldn't have my four kids, and I wouldn't be here today with this new record that I'm so proud of and so ready to share with the world. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword, so to speak.
You're not shying away from all of these topics, because a lot of this is inspiration for the songs on The Space Between the Shadows, which is your new album.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I definitely dig deep on this record and really get introspective and share lessons learned. you know, reflect on the past as well as, you know, move my view forward and outward looking in terms of social commentary and my view on the state of where we are as human beings. And so it's really a journey from the first song to the last song, which really encompasses, I think, just the human experience.
Do you think that with this greater discussion about mental health and, you know, depression, addiction, suicide, do you think that this greater understanding about all of these things is really pushing rock and roll kind of forward into this? I really feel like there's a resurgence in rock and roll. I really feel like the pendulum is swinging back the other way and that rock music is taking its rightful place in the pantheon of music overall. And it seems like a lot of these themes are what is in a lot of the music that's driving it forward. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. You know, I think it's been something that has been around, you know, since the beginning of rock music, and it's been a part of the inspiration and the connection, and I think it really is driving a lot of the content, what artists are writing about, and how it's connecting with people. Because if the music doesn't connect with the public in terms of their experiences and what they're feeling as well, then that you know, it has no synergy. And so I think with all of this happening at once, I think it definitely is propelling rock music forward because it's connecting with people where they are.
How has your recovery process, which really started in 2014 when Music Cares reached out to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but between my wife, Jacqueline, and Music Cares, yeah.
How has your professional life changed? And I mean specifically, how is your voice now? How are your professional relationships? And I ask all of that because I'd be crazy not to ask about how you go about trying to mend all the fences with your bandmates in Creed.
Well, I tell you, you know what I mean? In terms of how it affects me, in my voice and my creativity, you know, I'm singing better now than I ever have. You know, a healthy lifestyle and not only with being sober, but all around with fitness, and just what I put into my body, not smoking cigarettes, you know, not all those things have definitely had an impact, on my voice. And also my creativity and my clarity and my focus. And I think you can really hear it on this new record and in the new songs. As far as mending fences, you know, it's a two-way street. And I definitely, you know, have taken care of my side of the street and the other guys have as well. You know, you can't apologize for depression or a mental health issue, but what you can apologize for is things that you know you've done under the influence, and things that you can discuss and share, things that at the time were misunderstood because of the lack of understanding of how depression affects people, and you know we've definitely had those conversations and they've been positive and we're all good and all have a much deeper understanding of everything now, you know, kind of from a, you know, 100,000 foot view looking back. And so things are good and positive in our relationships with Creed.
I ask this question of a lot of bands. Is it harder to maintain a marriage or harder to maintain a band?
I think they both take work and I think they both take understanding. You know, you really find out, who truly cares about you and who your true friends are, when you go through difficult times, because that's when, the people that love you the most and truly care, rally, and stick by you. And so I think that's the same applies to a marriage as it does to a band.
Talk to me about how the fans are responding to these live shows now and responding to the new music, because obviously a lot of the people that are going out there know you and are fans because of Creed. So talk to me about what it's been like to get back out on the road and playing these shows.
Oh, it's been overwhelming. I'm playing a predominantly, new record set. Of course, I have, five or six of the Creed songs in my set that I know my fans expect me to play and that I enjoy playing. But I tell you, the fans are really digging this new record. I mean, they're singing the songs already. It's not like that sense when you play a song that they know and then you play a new song, there's any kind of energy change. The energy level continues, and there's no drop in that. So the music's connecting, and the fans that have gotten the record and that are coming to my shows are digging the new music, and they're excited about it, and that's so fulfilling as an artist, and I'm so grateful for it.
I was very surprised when Nashville started to transition from just the epicenter of country music to being this place where so much great rock music is coming from, and now you're living there. So talk to me about what that is like. Is rock invading Nashville? Is that what's happening?
I think it's been going on for a long time, but, the public is just now catching up with it. Rock and the music community in general in Nashville is amazing. It's so welcoming. The artists there, everybody just wants to get together and write and jam, no matter what genre that you primarily are a part of. And so it's just a real welcoming music community with musicians and artists that just want to get together no matter what their core genre is. It's not uncommon at all, for a rock artist and a country artist to get together and just write songs. And it's just a wonderful community and a great place to raise kids.
Because you're in such a music town, does that just take away the novelty of Scott Stapp being like the basketball and baseball coach for his son?
I think what's cool about Nashville and what I love the most about it is when I'm home off the road and I'm in daddy mode doing daddy stuff, I'm just, treated like another dad, and I'm allowed to just be dad and be a coach and carpool and go to my daughter's dance recitals and I love it, it's been an amazing transition for me and my family, and we're having a blast there.
Can you be a cool dad? Because most kids just think their parents are uncool no matter how cool they really are.
Well, my kids right now are at that wonderful age where they still think mommy and daddy are the coolest on the planet. Now I know from my oldest that changes. And so we'll see. It's different with every child. But right now, Milan and Daniel and baby Anthony think their mom and dad are awesome. That can change, during the teenage years.
Before I let you go, I have to bring up sports because I know you're a big sports guy and I'm sitting here in Boston. So
yeah.
Do we need to go punch counter punch here or?
No, not at all, man. One of the greatest experiences I ever had was getting the honor of singing God Bless America when the Red Sox were playing the Cardinals. And they hadn't won a championship in, I don't remember the exact number, 80 something years. And I got to be at that game and they won their first World Series in God knows how many years. And
you were there the night the Sox broke the curse of the Bambino?
I believe it was that night. Yeah, I believe so. Don't quote me. My memory may not be serving me well, but I believe it was that night. Yeah.
Oh.
And if it wasn't that night, it was, it was the next game. But I got to be a part of that World Series, and man, it was amazing to to experience and be a part of.
That championship series changed the lives of generations of Red Sox fans, and the wave, we're still riding it, as you well know, as a Dodgers fan.
Oh, absolutely, man. You guys are an amazing sports city, amazing town, and, you know, the envy of other sports cities across the country. You know, what history, what a legacy, and, you know, it's just amazing to watch. Even if you're a fan of another team, you can't help but have respect and see the passion of the city of Boston. And so it's amazing what's going on there.
It's the upside down world, like in Stranger Things. Like, we went from being the butt of every sports joke to being hated because we win too much.
Hey man, I'm hoping the same thing happens with me.
When you look back at some of the crazy, off the wall, headline making things that you were a part of, do you just sit back and go, "What the hell?" I mean, it is a true rock and roll story from beginning to end.
You know, I was at a station last night, and we were talking about this, and imagine if there was social media in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. My story would have been like, it's just another one. You know what I mean? It wouldn't even have made headlines, probably, because the media would have been tired of it. So, you know, I look back, man, and you know, it is what it is. Of course, I wish, you know, certain things and a lot of things, you know, didn't play out and didn't happen publicly. Of course, I wouldn't be human if I didn't. But I've gotten to a place of peace in my life, and you know, I believe everything happens for a reason. And I live with no regrets. And I'm here today, and so many things in my life would be different had I not gone through the things that I've gone through. So I've embraced it, and I take those experiences and those struggles and those dark days, and I've created a purpose within it. And I use those experiences and how I've gotten to the other side of it to try to help others who have gone through the same things. And so when you have a purpose for your pain, you know, it puts a new spin on it in the way you view it and the way you can accept it and move forward in your life.
You sound like me talking about my jerk ex-husband. Well, listen, next Friday, you're going to be here in Boston. You're playing an iconic theater in the city at the Wilbur. And I would love to come and see you so we can sit down and kind of rehash some of the good old days, because AAF's 50th anniversary as a rock station is next year.
Oh, awesome. That is so awesome. You guys have been an integral part of my career. And I wouldn't even, you know, be in this business if it wasn't for AAF. And so I love you guys and would love that.
All right. Well, then I'm going to take you up on it next Friday. We got a date, Scott Stapp.
All right. Let's do it.
Thank you so much for calling. And seriously, it is so good to hear you doing so well.
Thank you so much.
So many people don't make it to the other side of that journey, unfortunately. And, you know, it's good to see somebody that has.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, man. And thank you guys for supporting the new record.
We'll see you next week, Scott.
All right.
See you soon. Have a great time at up in Salisbury. And you need to go over and get beach pizza with extra cheese.
We'll do it. I'll have to do it after the show.
No
cheese before the show.
Have a great day.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, honey.
All right. Bye.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.